All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
The suit you got on today.
I like it too.
All right, coming up, we'll tell you if the Giants really made a huge mistake keeping Eli Manning.
And if the Steelers should vote Big Ben or Mike Tomlin off the island. But we start every day with a Whitlock, so hit them, big dog.
Duke basketball sensation Zion Williamson proves there's enormous value in our country's most talented teenage basketball players attending college. Not just for 1 year, but for three or four. The basketball establishment disagrees with me. The establishment appears on reestablishing the high school to NBA pipeline. Everyone hates the fraudulence of the one-and-done rule. College coaches hate the constant upheaval and the difficulty of effectively coaching young players with 1 foot out the door. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver has strongly hinted that during the next collective bargaining agreement, he'll eliminate the age restriction that prevents high schoolers from entering his league. Conventional wisdom argues that Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, Moses Malone, and Tracy McGrady all proved you don't need to be college to become NBA superstars. I say it depends on how you define superstar. You can't bake the next Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, or Larry Bird without putting him in a college oven for 2 or 4 years. The NBA is a television show. The three biggest stars of the NBA television series are Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, and Larry Bird. Magic and Larry made the NBA a hit TV show, and Michael is the most powerful ratings-generating star the show has ever had. LeBron James doesn't remotely compare. That's why nearly 2 decades after he retired, Jordan is still the face of the NBA and its greatest brand ambassador. Air Jordan sells more sneakers than LeBron and all the others combined. Jordan's dominance is the equivalent of Joe Montana or Brett Favre still being the NFL's biggest stars, most marketable brands. The NFL uses college football to replenish, evolve, and get stronger. The NBA and college basketball, they're at war. There's zero synergy. Oklahoma Heisman Trophy winners Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray bring their college fan bases to the NFL. They're recognizable and marketable from the moment they enter their profession. The same will be true for Zion Williamson. A year ago, Zion was an oversized YouTube star, thought to be the third best player in his class. After 7 months at Duke, Williams is a TV ratings phenomenon who will be a star the second he puts on an NBA uniform. Imagine if he played 2 or 3 years at Duke. Imagine if he became a college legend, the Tim Tebow of hoops. Tebow was a below-average quarterback, and people still tune their televisions to see him play in the NFL. Let me remind you, the NBA is a TV show. The higher the TV ratings, the more money the actors slash athletes are paid. My argument isn't that Zion Williamson and other teenage hoopers should stay in college and play for free. My argument is that it makes no sense for the basketball establishment to work to eliminate the Zions of the world from college hoops. The establishment should be working on figuring out a way to pay Zion for staying in college. That would improve everything. Zion would benefit, college basketball would benefit, the NBA would benefit, so would the TV networks, the shoe companies, and sports fans. Basketball, both professional and college, is foolish for preferring the system that produced LeBron over the system that produced Michael Jordan. All right, joining the desk now, Clay Travis from Lock It In on FS1, and former number one overall pick in the NBA draft 2000, Kenyon Martin,
say it with
who
respect.
Has a son who's a big-time college prospect this year coming up. All right, but I'm going to start with you, Marcellus.
Yes.
Am I right? Zion proves we're better off with the stars baking in college for a year, for a few years.
No, you're not right. Look, you have some evidence that, you know, you have some outliers that can really support your argument, but in totality, you're not right. One, even by your own words, there's no system in place to pay these players. So even if your argument was correct, there's nothing that can incubate these players when their value is at where Zion Williamson's value is. But that's not where I'm going to attack. I'm going to attack here. the momentum that's necessary or that is gained from the collegiate experience that translates to the pros. I'm going to have to debunk that. I tell you, let's start in my sport, football. Last year's MVP, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes did not come out of Texas Tech with huge fanfare. There was questions of his game. A lot of people were saying it was a reach to pick him at Kansas City, and especially when you had a quarterback in tow with Alex Smith. And his first year, no one even talked about Patrick Mahomes. He played that last game, and then he went into the offseason. All of a sudden, you start seeing everywhere, oh, man, oh, you should see what he does on YouTube in practice, in YouTube in practice. And then he came out. First game of the year, his second year, I went to that game. And I came back here. You laughed at me. I said, we have just found our newest star. Revenues and ratings will follow one Patrick Mahomes. All array took off. Now, if you look at that, here's another example.
Where did he develop at?
Where did he develop? He developed at Texas Tech. You're talking about, you said for the TV show. This not change this argument.
No. You got to develop somewhere.
Okay.
He didn't just, he was almost a baseball player.
Yeah.
He developed in college.
Okay.
And so maybe his brand wasn't as big as the Heisman Trophy.
Oh, you going to say maybe with that?
But he developed in college.
He had no brand in comparison to what he has now.
Right.
Tom Brady had no brand in comparison to what he became in the pros, correct? And then there are guys who just said, forget college. That we know LeBron, we know Kobe. Guys who just said, if you show up at the pro level, you will have instantaneous success. It would happen immediately. I just gave you all the names. The biggest of the best in every sport. Who's the biggest basketball player right now in terms of ratings and revenue? LeBron. How did that go?
To Michael Jordan, and he was not... Again, he came in good, but he would have came in a lot better had he spent a couple years in college.
We don't know that, and impossible to compare him to a 18-year retired Michael Jordan. So for that, if there's so many examples of guys who just came in with little fanfare or no fanfare or skipped the process and that are amazing in terms of ratings and revenue, I don't understand why you got to get incubated in the collegiate level.
I think you're right on Zion because you spoke to it directly. He wouldn't have been the number one overall pick if he had come straight from high school. He was able to develop and refine his game at Duke. But here's my problem. I believe as a fundamental level, at 18 years old, if we let a man take a gun and go walk in a jungle and
that's
get shot,
you
should allow them to make the choice of whether or not they go pro
that's
at 18.
That's not the argument. Y'all got to listen to me. I'm not arguing for these guys not to go to college and just play for free. I'm saying they should be working towards a system that pays these guys to stay in college and a significant amount of money because that's what's best for the game. And
I agree there's good advertising. Here's the challenge. What do these NBA guys all want to do? Get to their second contract as fast as they can, right? From a financial perspective, you would have to give them so much money because just purely from a financial perspective, if Zion's my son, I'm saying you got to go to the NFL, you got to go to the NBA at 19 because you want to get to the big payday, the max contracts, right? And I don't think college basketball can produce any kind of revenue that approaches what these guys can make. I mean, it worked for you to go for 4 years.
Yeah, no, it was a different time, different era. I wasn't ready to come in out of high school. I wasn't ready as a freshman. I needed those 4 years. I went from averaging 3 points as a freshman, not starting to me being consistent national player of the year. You know what I'm saying? That's time and work and putting people didn't have, they had time to critique my game, but in a good way. Nowadays, the longer you stay in school, they have times to pick holes in the game, which you can't do.
Right.
So for him to stay in school, I think it'll be a disservice. For him and college basketball, because it's his best thing he has going right now is hype, right? Because he's going to put body in the seats. Ultimately, it's about, like I said, the TV show that you said, putting bodies in the seats. It doesn't get any better right now.
Oh, it can get better.
Right now than Zion Williams.
It can get better, though.
I'm saying? It can't.
Statistically, here's a great stat.
Last year, if he would have came out after his senior year in high school last year, it would have been a debate whether he would have been a number one pick or not.
Right. Debate.
DeAndre Ayton, wouldn't have been solidified because of the hype that this kid has around him.
How would you handle a Greg Oden? Right? Greg Oden made the right decision. He came out after his freshman year. Now, he had to go to college. Probably would have been the number one overall pick, right? For me, this is so much about maximizing your revenue. Greg Oden, if he comes back to Ohio State, blows up a knee sophomore, junior year, he may not
almost
even get drafted.
Like I didn't say the monologue. Because here's what I'm saying. First of all, as it relates to Zion, how much revenue has he generated for the television networks in terms of ratings, for Duke, for everybody. It's a massive amount.
Yes.
And so I'm not talking about paying this dude a little bit of money. I'm talking about reflecting that value he's bringing to college basketball.
Everybody doesn't deserve, everybody is not Zion. So it's so far in between.
Guys.
So why not?
Because they don't.
They're on
that
a team,
kind of
but they're on a team with him, though. It's not an it's not an individual sport.
That's why I started off saying there's no system.
If he played an individual sport,
I didn't say there was a system.
If he played an individual sport,
figure out a system.
If he played an individual sport, I'm all with you. If he played an individual sport that generated that kind of attention and all that, I'm with you 1,000%.
You do know, like, LeBron's making more money than the last guy on the bench for the Lakers. They're
okay,
in the same
I'm with,
league.
I'm with you and on so, that, but this is, we're talking about a professional athlete and a college athlete.
Zion Williamson is a professional athlete. He's just not being compensated for it right now.
He ain't got
and he wouldn't be compensated by a CBS deal that was done years ago. They would just say, okay, you know what? Because he wasn't factored into the deal when they did it.
Show me his W-2 if people, if he's a professional athlete, show me his W-2.
He's not being paid. He's being exploited. It right now. Well, there's a way. Everybody acts like they can't change the system. They changed it for Olympic athletes.
We love
Dick Vitale was on TV throwing
out.
They
the reason they put the rule in because a lot of people thought they were ready and they wasn't. They putting their name in this draft and they not ready.
I think the
so
rule.
So therefore, honest conversations need to have. I think the rule needs to go out the door. If you're ready,
if you should
be a lot. So the consensus of the of the 32 whatever teams.
That's one way.
It should be that.
Hey, let them all go to the NBA.
Not all of them.
No, whoever wants to.
Then you get guys that, they're missing out on college now because they're not good enough to play in the NBA.
That's
so
going to happen.
So it shouldn't be that you got 185 underclassmen putting their name in a draft
how
where
you
have no chance of getting drafted.
It can be regulated, trust me. Here's the big challenge.
It's honest conversation with these college coaches, with these agents, all these people being honest with these kids, man.
Here's the big challenge in general with your idea, which I think is an interesting one, right? Develop them as stars at the college level. Let them go into the NBA. I don't think there's any doubt that if you look at the NFL, college football is a free minor league for the NFL is the best aspect of their business they've ever had, right? And it works. Yeah. You have to wait 3 years. Most 18-year-olds aren't ready to go pro. It's perfect. They bring in all their fan bases. It's phenomenal. Here's the challenge you get in with compensating somebody like Zion. First of all, it has to be a ton of money, right? Yeah. Secondly, the way that Title IX is constructed, and this is a total mess that we need to dive into as a country, you would have to compensate everybody.
No, you wouldn't. I don't believe that. I believe that's a talking point that the NCAA has shoved down our throats and we have accepted. You can't tell me in America, people that produce something of value, we can't figure out a way to pay.
I agree with you. As a capitalist.
We shoved this talking point, this Title IX. It's a great talking point, and I've seen people do it to protect amateurism. Amateurism's a fraud. You have Olympic athletes that can make money with endorsements and all that other stuff, so let's quit. Take that off the table. It's a lie. It's a myth.
But are you proposing equal compensation? Because if you're not, then why wouldn't I go to the pros? If you have to keep it equal as a starting point. And the only thing, like you said, you're selling production at the pro level, which is the bona fide stars, the all pros, or you're selling potential. Yeah. Zion Williamson's hype. Yeah. That's what the NFL has always based its marketing prospects on. Are you giving it to us now? Or are you showing the promise to give it to us?
So I get your point. Zion, if he's the biggest star at Duke, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have R.J. Barrett, and you have Cam Reddish. Mm-hmm. There's a pecking order. I get it.
Yeah.
So if you are paying guys of their celebrity while they're in college, I get there probably should be a gap in the first guy, the second guy. Right. The walk-on shouldn't be getting what Zion is getting.
Or anything.
I get that.
He should be getting the scholarship
I get that. But it's not going to go that way.
Hooters.
Whatever rule, whatever they come in place,
it's not going to be fair.
I put a man on the moon.
It's not going to go
that
way.
Listen,
I was on the cover of the college basketball game. I ain't seen one red cent from it.
Things can change.
I'm with the pay in the college player. Trust me.
Here is the argument for why it can make sense, right? DeAndre Ayton goes to Arizona. He comes out and he plays for the Phoenix Suns. How many Phoenix Suns games you watch this year?
What'd you say?
Games you play, right? The reality is Zion for a brand value is infinitely more valuable going to play at Duke, where millions of people watch him, than he would be if he was playing at Phoenix on a bad, bad Phoenix Suns team. So the way to unlock the value, I think, for your question, Jason, in a smart way, shoe companies have to be able to pay. That's
shoe
the answer.
Companies or the – there's value in, for the NBA for these guys staying in college and bringing a bigger fan base and a bigger brand to their league. How can we get back to the Michael Jordan – model, because Michael Jordan has been the greatest thing to ever happen in the NBA, and we've gone away from that model, and it's a mistake.
We haven't gone away from the model as much as we've gone away from the times. He didn't come into a saturated market where shoe companies were looking. It's like, who's the first athlete to wear a shoe? Oh, it's you, Michael Jordan. LeBron launches a shoe. LeBron, first basketball player of that level. No, he wasn't the first. I said of that level. Now you get to.
We had Dr. J.
Exactly.
And all that
I just saw the Jordan documentary. I know what happened. His shoe became reflective of rebellion. They banned his shoe. He went out there in the All-Star games. That's why All-Star games meant something back then. You know why? Because it was something to broaden your platform and brand. Now you come into a saturated market if you're LeBron James. You have to compete with your own teammates' shoes or guys who have their own companies as shoes.
I know we have a million excuses for LeBron James and why he will never.
That's not an excuse.
No, it is.
Different
because
times.
We've changed some things as well. Michael Jordan, the NBA right now should be more popular. I know no one likes to talk about that. The ratings haven't been great this year. They haven't ever really made any ground on the NFL. And one of the main reasons why is because football has a far better relationship. NFL has a far better relationship with college football than the NBA has with college basketball. It's a bad model and system in the NBA. They need to be putting this energy into figuring out how can we fix this so our stars can incubate properly in the college game, get some value for what they're bringing to the college game financially. That's the right solution for the entire sport of basketball, NBA and college.
But the NFL hasn't fixed the incubation system.
For LeBron, let's say LeBron had gone to college, right? Let's say LeBron does what you want him to go, 2, 3, whatever it is in college.
Comes out with and is handed $20 million during his college career for his services.
Here's the challenge I think you would run into. I don't think it would fundamentally change who LeBron James is. LeBron James, the way that he carries himself in the NBA, I think LeBron cares so desperately what people think about him that the primary distinction between LeBron and Michael Jordan is not one went to college and one went straight to the NBA. It's that LeBron, even if he were in college, he'd have been on the message boards. He'd have been on his social media feeds. What do people think about me? Do they like me or not? Jordan was a stone-cold assassin who didn't care whether you liked him at all. You're not going to fundamentally change the way that people are.
I'm not asking for a fundamental change of LeBron. The system, again. What Jordan stepped onto was the platform that Michael and Larry built.
Yes.
Magic
and Larry built. Michael stepped onto that platform. Michael left the platform. And LeBron and this next group have stepped onto that. And LeBron and them haven't improved the platform.
What?
The way that Magic and Larry did and the way that Michael did. They haven't enhanced the platform up to the next level.
Will you stop that? Okay, Magic and Bird takes the games from tape delay to live TV, makes the TV show. Right. All of a sudden, Michael Jordan creates the global brand, icon, everything. You know what LeBron has already done as an active player? Signed a $1 billion Nike lifetime contract. Did Jordan
even... That's a nice individual thing.
Time out.
I'm talking about the game of the NBA.
I'm talking about taking the revenues in terms of shoe contracts, which are greater than what you get in terms of what you paid from the teams. He took it to a level as an active player that even Michael Jordan didn't do at his time. Because he stepped off of that.
I think we won't be able to answer this question until LeBron leaves, because we really knew the value of Jordan. And you were in the league after Jordan left. You probably saw it. Jordan left. There's more people watch Jordan push off Brian Russell and make that jumper in the final year in 1998 than have ever watched a basketball game in this country still. And there are 50 million more people alive today than back then, right? Mm-hmm. Jordan had a different audience. But when Jordan left, that audience tanked. I actually think this is where the final comparison between Jordan and LeBron is going to be the most interesting. I think the NBA is right here. I think they got a player, not a league. And I think when LeBron leaves, there's going to be a huge drop just like there was with Michael Jordan. Not as big, but I think that's when you'll actually be able to test the final legacy of both guys.
Yeah.
Did you feel that when Jordan left the league? Like, I know you came in.
There was a gap. Yeah, there was a gap then he came back to play for the Wizards. So we still got a little bit of that. But it wasn't the
imagine.
But hype. So we'll see. Like, Zion is coming in with as much hype as anybody ever has, right?
No.
So let's.
No.
Right now, I believe so.
And the way hype is right
now, as far as attention and everything.
Without a doubt, we would agree. So, the biggest hype since LeBron came into the league. That's fair, right?
So, and Jordan benefited from first to the marketplace.
So let's see if his game translates to the NBA before we, like, and then if he does, then the NBA has another superstar to lean on.
Yeah,
I love LeBron.
If not, then we'll see where it goes. But the quality of basketball is water. Ratings are down. That's not because you know, the superstars. It's the quality.
They're not trained in college on how to compete and play.
So it starts. But it's that. It starts with presidents okaying these GMs to pick these guys. So it's a long laundry list of why the talent is where it's at in the NBA. It's 25% other Europeans and all that. 75 like so. That's why it's
that's
that.
An interesting
you know
point.
What I'm
we can get into that.
Like, that's why.
Thank you. That's a good one. So just, we're going to end there because I kind of like that one. All right, Clay, thanks for joining us. You can
thanks
catch
for having
him,
me.
All the rest of the Lock It In crew in Las Vegas starting tomorrow right after us at 4:30 Eastern.
Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, options, ETFs, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. They provide a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. It's simple and intuitive, with a clear design of data presented in an easy-to-digest way. What are the values of the Robinhood app, you may ask? The design and ease of use. It has easy-to-understand charts and market data, so you can place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. Robinhood's web platform also lets you view stock collections and analyst ratings of buy, hold, and sell for every stock. Also, you can learn by doing. Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks and track favorite companies with your personalized news feed. You can even set custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at speak.robinhood.com. That's speak, S-P-E-A-K, .robinhood.com.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley. We're joined now by Fox NFL analyst Mark Schlereth and longtime NFL quarterback Steve Berline. Time now for a big story sponsored by Volvo and the new S60. Follow no one. All right, let's move to New York, where Giants general manager Dave Gettleman has been busy this offseason, moving on from some of the team's high-priced stars like Odell Beckham Jr., Olivier Vernon, and Landon Collins. In fact, the only expensive star they've kept is the guy everyone thought they should get rid of, Eli Manning, a move that Gettleman forcefully defended yesterday.
This narrative that Eli's overpaid and can't play is a crock. I'm telling you. So at the end of the day, you guys got to say Gettleman's out of his mind or he knows what he's talking about when he evaluates players. That's really what it is. That's really where it's at. And I'm okay if you disagree with me. That's fine. But what I'm telling you is if you turn around and you take a look at what he's making right now and look around the league and see what quarterbacks are making, all right, if you were in my shoes, you'd say, you know what, there really is not the way he finished the season – and what he's making, there really wasn't a decision to make.
I agree with Gettleman on the Eli point in terms. The guy's making bottom five quarterback money, and that's what he is. He's a bottom five quarterback at this point. I agree with him on that point. And I just think, look, the last guys in New York that tried to bench Eli, they got fired.
Man.
Gettleman don't want to get fired.
Yeah. I do agree with him. In general, not specifically, he's not bottom five. Eli's not bottom five. I know the narrative was out there since 2015. He was bottom five last year. In spots, in moments, Eli did play mid-pack.
Top six.
He did play mid-pack football, but to his point about the money, what were we talking about, $17 million in cash, $23 million cap hit. That puts Eli right in the conversation of middle to low end in terms of compensation. And there are guys who are going to get paid more who probably are lesser of a quarterback if you're talking about what he means to the franchise as well as just production. Eli's still an ambassador. He still represents the New York Giants the right way. And like you said, there's so much equity in Eli and the name and the brand that you don't want to distance yourself from it prematurely, or that fan base will react. Smart move.
Yeah, I look at Dave Gettleman, and he says you got to understand the process, and just because you don't get it, you know, everybody makes this about you let go of Odell Beckham Jr. and you kept Eli, and it makes it an Odell versus Eli debate. And really, when you start to look at what he did here, he is building, and he believes in building a team from the inside out, and they have failed miserably in that department. Nobody looks at Kevin Zeitler is a damn good football player on the inside. Mm. They got him from Cleveland. They picked
Who
up
is
a,
he?
He's a guard from Cleveland. Right, he's a first-rounder from Cincinnati. Okay, gotcha. So he is a really good football player. Then they got a first-rounder and a third-rounder, and those guys aren't going to cost any money for the next 5 years, 4 years for the third-rounder, 5 years for the first-rounder. He's a 17th overall pick. So to me, what he's doing makes perfect sense. And then ultimately, this is a copycat league, and who's had the most success in the last 2 years as far as developing a quarterback is concerned? It's the Kansas City Chiefs, your team. They let their young quarterback, under the tutelage of Alex Smith, learn how to play the game, and then they unleashed him, and he won an MVP. They're looking at the same thing this year in Giants land. Let Eli groom a young kid, let that kid take over after a year under that tutelage. I mean, it's a game plan.
2 points from my perspective. Number one, Eli's getting paid what he's getting paid because he earned it, number one, by winning 2 Super Bowls, correct? I mean, we got to give him that credit.
Kobe contract, we going there?
I'm just saying that he's been doing it for a long – that's 100% right, but it is what it is. He's still the best option they have. Right. Who else are they going to play for him now?
He'll stink on the Super Bowl, too. Should they still be paying him?
Yes. Yeah, the answer is
they
yes.
Should they be, should. Yes. Yeah. They always played the offensive line. Are you kidding me? Yeah. But the other point, though, is Gettleman, I think he's responsible for what's going on right now, but I'm not I don't really consider it a mess right now to what you were saying, Mark. I mean, you look at it and you say – okay, they did trade away their best player. They are stuck with Eli Manning right now, who did play well the second half of the season, or he played winning football the second half of the season. But the next point, though, is that you do have value in that trade that you got for Odell Beckham. You got the 17th pick. You've got high draft choices now. You've got 2 in the first round. You're going to get your rookie quarterback if you want to get Haskins with that 6th pick. You're going to have him. Eli can tutor him for 1 year, and then it's time to pass the reins over to Dwayne Haskins, let him go, or whoever else it might be. But I think there's value in the way he's done this. He created cap space. They brought in Golden Tate.
Yeah.
Golden Tate doesn't compare with Odell Beckham Jr. No. But you got cap space to bring in other players now.
Yeah, it's
Zeitler's one.
If you look at, I've been a part of 2 teams where we had these D-days where they let go great players, Hall of Fame players. I was in Buffalo, Andre Reed, Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith, same day, bye-bye, just to create more space opportunities for others. And being real, the organization says, if we're not winning a Super Bowl or really a true contender with these guys at this number and this value, and with Odell with this headache, as they were saying, why not reset and recalibrate? I was part of it in San Diego as well. Junior Seau and Rodney Harrison and then myself. They're just like, if we're not going to win this way, let's just go reset and see if we can win a different way, a different path up the mountain. So we just got to wait and see.
You know, interesting, real quick, Dave Gettleman, as I mentioned, is an inside-out guy. That's how he wants to build a roster. That's how he wants to build a football team. You look at every playoff game won this playoff, every one of those teams dominated the line of scrimmage.
Time to play some Survivor Island, where somebody gets voted off the island. Let's move to Pittsburgh, where Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are gone, but the drama might not be over. Big Ben is no stranger to his own drama, calling out coaches and teammates, threatening to retire, and just this week being accused of fumbling on purpose despite former offensive coordinator Todd Haley. Meanwhile, Tomlin hasn't exactly reined in his players' worst impulses in recent years. Ben has 1 year left on his contract while Tomlin is signed through 2020. So, Marcellus, we'll start with you. If you had to pick, if you had to vote someone off the island, Tomlin or Big Ben?
Oh, it's easy pickings. Got to go, Big Ben. Got to go real fast. Simple. One, just in premise, If you have a coach you believe in and a coach that is successful, second most wins as an active coach, Mike Tomlin, and you got a quarterback who's going to be a future Hall of Famer, I always go with the coach. You know why? Because the longevity. He's going to last longer. Belichick been winning rings since 87 as a coordinator. He just won last year. Decades on decades of success. I can ride that longer than Big Ben, who one day is going to retire, one day is going to retire, and he just has to go away. So I stay with the one that gives me longevity. Mike Tomlin, you got to stay.
I hate to tell you, I'm taking the other side of this one. And it's all, now, first off, neither one of them is going to go. I don't think either one of them should go. But if I have to choose one, I'm saying you can't replace a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. Who else are you going to go to after Ben? At some point, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to address it. But Big Ben has two, maybe 3 years left. I agree with the longevity argument. But for right now, if you got to make a decision with all this dysfunction going on right now, even though Mike Tomlin is the winningest coach in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers, higher than Chuck Knoll, higher than Bill Cowher. I agree with that. And he's earned the right to stay. But if you're talking about choosing one that has to go.
Short-term over long-term.
I think you got to go short-term right now.
What?
I think you do. You got a Hall of Fame quarterback, two Super Bowls.
Right.
You got to give him one. Let him ride that horse one more time so he can get it done.
I'm 100% with you, Steve. I'm keeping the quarterback. I mean, the quarterback to me. Now, listen, one thing about the coach, and this is my issue with the coach, you're either coaching or allowing it to happen. You've allowed it to happen in Pittsburgh. That's on you. You've allowed, you know, the attitude. You've allowed guys to show up late. You've allowed your whole premise or your whole mantra over there in Pittsburgh is, I'm going to coach it until I can replace it. Well, I'm sorry, you can't replace Antonio Brown. You can't replace Ben Roethlisberger. So unless you put your foot down and you change kind of the culture and the philosophical approach to how you do it, well, guys are going to take advantage of it. You know how players are. If you give an inch, we're going to take a mile. That's how we, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is. So you've allowed it to happen in Pittsburgh. I'd have to remove the coach and say another coach can come in here and with a quarterback and the talent they've amassed can go in there and win. I believe that.
When I woke up this morning and thought about this, because there were more questions about who's responsible for leadership here, Tomlin or Big Ben, who's going to have to change? And then we came up with, okay, if you had to choose between one, who? I thought this would be a really, really difficult decision. I was like, man, coach or quarterback? Quarterback's 37 years old, got 2 or 3 years left. And then I just started digging into, well, hold on. From Terry Bradshaw to Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers had 13 quarterbacks. 13. Cordell Stewart, Neil O'Donnell, Bubby Brister, Mark Ballone, Tommy Maddox, Mike Tomczak.
Tomczak, yep.
And a bunch more not even worth listing. And then over the course of 50, 60 years, the Steelers have had three head coaches.
Three.
Mm-hmm. All three have won Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that screams to me is like, oh, the Steelers know how to hire a new coach.
Yeah.
And they're going to make that coach successful.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback. They struggle.
How
like
many quarterbacks?
Else.
How many of those quarterbacks have won two Super Bowls?
No, again,
won one Super Bowl.
Right. None of them have won. Neil O'Donnell's the only one that played in one between Bradshaw and Big Ben. And so it's like the Steelers struggle with quarterback like every other team, and they got one. With coaches, they're 3 for 3. They can pick another one. I'm voting Big Ben off.
That's how you came to that logic?
Yeah.
I was like, if you're 3 for 3, you say we know how to pick a coach. We stay with our coach because whatever quarterback is going to come through this system,
every time
more
they
than
hire
not,
a coach, he wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but how long do you think that Ben Roethlisberger is going to play? What you going to bank on? This is a Belichick-Brady argument.
You
y'all
got
picking
him.
Brady over Belichick? This is the same argument. Y'all picking.
No. No,
what's the difference? I'm waiting.
Well, to Mike Tomlin, the Pittsburgh Steelers won 3 playoff games since 2010.
Yeah, but he also has a Super
Bowl. I think Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have won, what, 3 Super Bowls since
he has 2010. A Super Bowl, and he's the second most winningest coach.
Marcella.
I agree.
So
I'm going to give
I'm Marcella. Just trying to say what's
it's
the difference.
It's like Tony Gonzalez when he was single walking into a nightclub.
It was over. I ain't go.
Strikes gold every time.
Oh, yeah.
And so you know what?
Bilingual, everything. You know, he was like, we can't keep up with
and
this.
So you know what he did? He dusted them off quick because you know, next time I go, I'm going to get another one.
Mm.
That's what the Steelers have when it comes to the head coach. They're
they
not
don't.
Scared.
They don't go out that much.
I understand.
They got 3
it's
coaches
been 12,
forever.
13, 14
wow,
years.
Wow, what's going on? In 5 years, we blink. There's no chance Roethlisberger can ever win a Super Bowl again. And then you got a coach who's already won one and is younger than you, Whitlock, and you're going to sit there and say, oh, well, we gave him up for the guy who's retired.
One.
Go get another one, huh? and they've only gotten
three. I've never struck out at that position. Yeah.
Three for three.
And I got all these strikeouts at the quarterback position.
Wow.
It is really hard. And trust me.
Here's what I know. I know this. I had this players-only meeting that I called when I played in Denver. And listen, and I said this. Like, Mike Shanahan and Mike Tomlin, they're not going to make one tackle, right? He's not going to throw one ball. He's not. He's not going to make one tackle. He's not going to throw one block. And like, if he was forced to play, you'd need a smoke bomb to get him out of the locker room. He'd be standing in a puddle of urine. That's ultimately how it is. Like, coaches aren't going to make any plays. Ben Roethlisberger is still going to make plays. He may be immature, but he can still make plays. And you know what?
Yeah.
And so then it's your responsibility to develop a culture as a head coach that overcomes his immaturity.
And by the way, I'm not advocating doing this. I'm saying if you have to choose one, there's a lot of things we can rip Big Ben about. I mean, his immaturity, 100%. It's been better since he got through those legal issues. He's kind of had the wake-up call. He's being more responsible with his. But he's not a great leader. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but the conversation just comes by. Belichick has been a coach of 8 Super Bowl victories.
I agree.
And I'm like, in that timeline, who else as a player?
If we're talking about Belichick, I'd go.
Well, give me a player.
Like, New England's not as successful as picking coaches.
Is it Belichick that makes Brady? Is it Brady that makes Belichick? Is it Belichick that makes Brady?
Hey, guys. Jason Whitlock here. Did you know you can fill out a tourney bracket at DraftKings this year? That's right. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone fills out a bracket during the tournament. Might as well do it on the award-winning app with tons of free prizes. For the first time ever, DraftKings is offering a bracket battle promotion with $64,000 in prizes. Let me give you a tip. I love the North Carolina Tar Heels to make it to the Final Four and possibly win it all. My sleeper team is Houston to make a long run. All right, you know how brackets work. Before tip-off of the first game of the tournament, just pick the winner of every game, every round. That's all there is to it. And the best part is you can play for free with code SFYS. You can even set up a private group for you and your friends and compete for bragging rights. Download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com now. Use code SFYS to enter the Bracket Battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. That's code SFYS to enter the bracket battle for free. Only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley. Kenyon Martin is back, and we're joined now by longtime NBA player Ketino Mobley. Let's move to the NBA, where Knicks legend Walt Clyde Frazier made waves this week criticizing LeBron for sitting away from the rest of the Lakers during a timeout in their loss at Madison Square Garden Sunday. Frazier said the move showed LeBron didn't care, but after taking some heat for the comments, Frazier doubled down yesterday, explaining, quote, like, if that was some other player, I wouldn't have said anything. But when you're the face of the league, man, you can't do what other people do. You have to do the right thing. And millions of kids saw that and will say that if LeBron did that, it's okay for me to do that. Almost on cue, the Lakers are saying LeBron is out tonight with a sore groin. Listen, I have a lot of respect for Walt Frazier doubling down here and not backing down. He took a lot of heat yesterday from a lot of NBA players and talking heads that came after him. And I agree with his sentiment here. It's LeBron's position in basketball on the face of the sport that makes this inappropriate.
Yeah, and his position with the Lakers. We've all been on teams, I assume probably the best player on certain teams at any level. And you have to understand that you are transmitting a signal to those guys. You put your hands on your knees when you're tired, watch the next gasser you run, somebody else gonna do it. And if you don't, the other kid's gonna look at you and say, And what Walt Frazier is saying, and I respect so much, I didn't like that he said LeBron doesn't care. I think LeBron does care. But LeBron is using the fact that he always does this as the reason why he's going to continue to do this. And this is not a moment going through this adversity that you should just continue with the norm. This is a moment where body language matters. This is a moment where you're transmitting a signal to these guys through adversity. You know what, guys, man? I can try and coach y'all up and
what's
be there
problem,
for
man?
Y'all more
what's
than just sitting on the other end of the
problem?
Beach. What's the problem,
man? What's the problem?
My
y'all
thing is,
crazy.
If Clyde wouldn't have said nothing, it wouldn't have been a big deal.
Oh, you're wrong. You didn't see this going around 2-3 weeks ago when LeBron was on the other side after he got
wouldn't
activated?
Been,
this went around a few weeks.
This is not the first
man.
Time.
This is not the first time that they called this out.
Clyde is caught up in the narrative.
He's what?
Clyde, like I said, is caught up in the narrative. It's okay to be frustrated, LeBron, after 16 years of perfection. It's okay to be frustrated.
Where was the perfection at?
Yeah, don't do
I
that.
I don't remember that.
Don't do that.
I don't remember the
hyperbole.
How about this?
Unnecessary.
How about this one?
You
both of you.
Up in the narrative.
How about this? How about this one? How about both
in the narrative.
Okay, yeah. How about both of you since you were 14 years old being on Sports Illustrated and getting $90 million and 18 years old?
Yeah.
And you're 34 years old and nothing's wrong has happened to you but a decision like Obama's tan suit. Nothing's happened to you bad, but y'all criticize everything
did you
that
miss
man
the
do.
Dallas Mavericks
from
final series.
19,
did you miss that?
From 14
did
years
you
old
miss his performance
until 34 years
Boston
old, you
playoff,
tell me
Cleveland,
Jason
Cleveland.
Whitlock or Marcellus Wiley, would you be acting the same or would you have gotten in trouble? Would you walk a straight line like this man's been
well,
doing?
Well, first,
so because I have
one years old, man, I ain't never been in trouble.
But I ain't never been in trouble.
We got to get out of here with the Chris Rock.
You look good.
He's doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, I ain't never been in trouble.
I take care of my kids.
I'm not saying the LeBron's body language is bad because I said yesterday is I don't like the body language. I said that.
Well, then we agree.
So with Clyde Frazier, I'm just saying he's caught up in a narrative. That's what I'm saying, Marcellus.
So are you.
He's caught, what narrative?
This is blown out of proportion, man.
Huh?
The whole thing blown out of proportion, man. Like,
LeBron
the
has
man
bad
sitting
body
at the
language.
End of
True.
The bench. Millions of kids don't care that LeBron James sitting at the end of
oh,
the
stop
bench.
Stop that, Kenyon.
Listen,
them kids
they
care about
still going out
do.
And go buy them shoes.
Well, yeah, and but they're gonna buy them with a different kind
no,
of tape.
No, they are not.
Tape. Reggie Bullock was
Listen,
sitting there, right?
No, they
two,
are
a
not.
A seat from him, he was
stop.
Sitting there.
How you gonna
the other
say
kid,
that? Still when you run them. First out the tunnel and you the man, guess what kids want to be now next? First out they tunnel. When you wear number one because you the best on the team, guess what kids want to wear? Number one.
So what if you run? So what if you run last?
23.
So what if you last?
23. Because he saw his.
What if you run last out the tunnel like Michael Jordan and what if you run last out the tunnel like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant?
Hey, guess what? That's when this shifts. I'm not saying that the kids are taking it for the negative meaning. They gonna think it's cool. Oh, we struggling, but I can
be on the end. It's only cool when you voice it. They won't even think about it.
Most communication is nonverbal. We ain't gotta hear it.
You
gotta see it.
He got kids.
Bro.
You think
come
your
on.
Kids go by everything that comes out of your
it's
mouth?
It's by what
like
they see, not what they
watching
hear.
Watching you, what you do.
That's true. Yeah. Something came out of his mouth bad.
Oh my God.
I'm asking
We're
a question.
That's the
actions.
Point.
That's the point.
The action is because you. Listen, if I tell you the number five
listen.
All the time, you're going to look for
hey,
the number five.
Listen,
I'm saying
you,
it to
so
you.
Let me tell you
I ain't
this.
Nothing else but Yo, say it. So what I'm doing is I'm programming your mind.
How
so
about
when
you
the
raise your
say
own
it all the
kids
time,
and stop telling them to look up to LeBron
oh,
James?
Agree.
Raise your own kids
however,
and stop telling them to look up to
however
athletes.
However, the paradigm is
How about
constructed
that?
Through
let's
some
start
of the views that they see.
No, I
You tell your son or your daughter that's not okay.
Yeah.
Let's start there. Okay. If they think it's okay, they put their hands on their knees, they don't get off the bench. After the game, you correct
hey,
that
can,
behavior.
Can I ask you this,
Guess
Kenyon?
What?
Kenyon,
and
can
I guarantee
this?
They won't do
I'm
it again.
You. I'm with you, brother. I'm
That's
with
all
you.
I'm saying.
Kenyon.
Raise your kids.
I
Tell them not to look up to LeBron James.
And
not to listen to Clyde Frazier. Raise your own kids.
I'm with you.
That's a decent point.
That's the only point.
We have the reality.
The
though.
Only point.
We have the reality. That we know there are other influences on kids
well,
beyond their
kids.
Parents.
Raise your
we
own
know
kids.
That there are other.
There are.
Their reality.
Definitely.
And LeBron has never shied away from being a role model. He's open to school.
Okay.
He's taking on that.
He's burden. More
That's
than an athlete.
Hey, Jason.
He's
more than an athlete.
So let's focus on that.
Both of y'all smarter than me. You're a journalist.
So let's focus on that.
And you went to Columbia. Can you say this word right there for me?
Where you at?
What?
What's that word?
Proletariat.
Okay. You know what proletariat is? Working class. Lowest class of citizens in ancient Rome. So you calling the rest of the people, Clyde Frazier, proletariat.
So, listen, man.
Who named LeBron King? Him or the media?
I don't know. He uses it as his Twitter handle.
Well Michael Jordan uses air.
One on the back.
Michael Jordan uses air.
One on the chosen one.
Look, Michael Jordan uses air.
I don't know.
Look.
It
look,
came from high school,
look,
right?
This Raise is what I. This is what I just can't believe.
Kids, tell them
no different than you are Kenyon.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, no different than
Ivy League school.
Clyde Frazier is a former NBA star.
I don't care.
Okay.
Again, his opinion is valid. We don't have to agree with it. But we can't act like this is some guy with no NBA playing experience, with no resume. This guy's a Hall of Famer.
So say,
and listen, that don't mean he right.
Hey, Marcellus, if you go, you
Marcellus in the Hall of Fame, Marcellus, don't mean he right. If you go got back, championships, don't mean he right.
I agree with that point.
That don't mean nothing, man.
If you go back to what Clyde Frazier has done for the, let's just say as a whole, for all the years he's been in the NBA and been a star, right? When he played and after he played, tell me how many things he has done. Because when you're a star, you're always a star, right? You're supposed to do the community, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that, you're supposed to do everything, right?
Right.
Tell me exactly what has he done more than LeBron James, and he was a star. He was one of the, him
so
and
are
Earl
we going
to
deflect
Monroe.
From this moment,
no,
maybe I'm, having a meaning
no, that's
that
not what
is
I'm
not
saying.
Positive
no, that's not what I'm
to
saying.
To just tear down
no,
Clyde Frazier?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not tearing down Clyde Frazier.
I just don't all agree
I'm saying
with
is,
what he said.
When you, I don't agree with what you're saying, because you're saying, your quote's in here about LeBron should do this and speaks for black people. He has a school with it. He's doing all that stuff. Clyde, what? My thing is, you're criticizing so much. It's like, Charles, what did you
he's
do?
He's not criticizing. He's saying, LeBron, you just set a standard that is so high. You're more than an athlete. You're doing amazing things
I'm
and everything. Why would you want to now
so
undermine
that
to the slightest by distancing yourself from a sorry team?
Listen, okay. And so, listen,
why would you do that?
I just don't
you're
understand.
Doing everything else
y'all
perfectly.
Are, everybody here, y'all three are all parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the best ways you express love mm-hmm. is correcting your child.
Yeah. Okay.
Is, hey, you're doing this or that the wrong way,
it,
you
right?
should do it this,
that's
this, or that way.
Yes.
So here's Clyde Frazier. Mm-hmm. He's like a parent in the NBA. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to beat up LeBron James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said the man don't care.
He
said the man don't care.
You said you
so,
don't care.
So therefore, your
care.
Statement after that
Jason,
don't
you
matter
don't
to
care?
Me.
Well, how about this? He's saying LeBron
you saying
don't care about your teammate.
Saying that man don't care says a lot. So therefore, anything after you said that, because it's not true.
Can you direct it to where he's saying you don't care about your teammates? If you've ever been into adverse moments like that, do you
distance yourself? How many years have you
not true. If he didn't care, he wouldn't continue to go out there and play.
I don't agree with that.
If he didn't care, he wouldn't continue to go out there and play.
This instance uh-huh. in this year,
okay.
y'all are kidding yourself if you think LeBron cares about these guys that he wanted to ship off to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Now, let's stop all the playing.
So he
and Kenyon, as a father,
he ship
I know you at some point have said to your child or one of your children, hey, man, the way you're behaving in class, it looks like you don't care about what's going on in class, or you don't care what your mama said.
It looks like.
Or you don't care
right.
about the way.
And
my father used to be on my butt. Hey, man, I want you to dress better than that. Put a tie on, blah, blah, blah. It was because he loved me. Because it looks like you don't care.
You look good now.
So guess what?
Good now.
Guess what?
Good.
Right. LeBron James and no other person that I've been around looked at Clyde Frazier as a father figure. Look at him as an ex-NBA player that made the Hall of Fame.
All right, what about the message, not the messenger?
That's what I'm saying.
Have you ever gave up a perception
said,
that looked
you
like
said,
you care?
I'm with you. But
right.
after you said that man don't care.
He said that at the end.
But so therefore, anything after that,
He said it at the
is irrelevant.
There's nothing after that.
It's irrelevant to me.
What about the
so your statement before that, it doesn't matter to me. Because you don't know what's in that man's heart. You don't know him. You don't go home. You don't know what that man is about, Clyde.
Well, why make it look like that?
So therefore, looks are deceiving or not.
Yeah,
all right, Cotino Mobley. Time to get some Twitter off.
I don't like your body language
anti-social.
Over there. Chill out, man.
Hold
you don't look like you
Hold
care.
Got to be quick here. Darnell's here.
Sir.
Our social media manager with a very controversial T-shirt.
Weezy.
You know, what? Tupac would like to come over and slap the taste out of your mouth.
Wayne. Best lyricist ever. Let's get straight into it, y'all. We're going to start with Kevin Durant. I'm sure you guys remember that burner account scandal back in 2017. Yeah. Twitter wouldn't stop clowning him for it and left everyone wondering why he did it. Well, we finally have an explanation from KD. In a recent interview, he stated, I wasn't used to that amount of attention, you know, from playing basketball. I wanted a place where I can talk to my friends without anybody just butting my conversations or mixing my words or taking everything out of context because I enjoyed that place. Do you guys like KD's approach here?
Get off social media.
No, you know what? I love what he said there. I
got group text. What's the matter with group text?
But you know what the thing is about social media? It is the greatest group text. You can text anybody everywhere.
I
may deactivate my own stuff. It just gets to a point where you're like, damn, I'm trying to just scroll through and see what I really want to see.
I'm with him. First of all, if I need to talk to you, I'm going to text you, my friend.
Oh, stop that. Stop that. It's people from high school that are on my social media, but are not in my group text.
That I don't. That's why they're on social media.
Do you have levels of associates? Yes, you do. And so guess what? The greatest group text is
listen,
social media.
Listen. What's next, Darnell? Okay, yeah, me and Coutinho are right.
Stop acting like that.
All right. Moving on to some baseball.
Thank you.
Where Mike Trout just signed the biggest contract in sports history, making $430 million over the next 12 years.
Yeah.
Social media has been nonstop talking about this, and even J.J. Watt chimed in on the action, tweeting at the Houston Texans saying, Mike Trout and I kind of look alike. So how do you feel about 12 years, $430 million, full and guaranteed for me,
too? None of these contracts work in baseball. He's going to be the next Albert Pujols. Good luck.
Well, they're halfway to a first billion-dollar deal that LeBron got from Nike already, respect to that. So, hey, respect to him for getting it. He's a beast.
Hey, listen, I have a 9-year-old son. Keep getting it, because when he get up there, I want him to wear it, too.
That's going
to
be minimum salary, $430.
Pop's going to be right with you, baby.
Yeah.
What's next, Darnell?
Yeah, let's get to the gridiron. With the Oakland Raiders re-signed wide receiver and return specialist Dwayne Harris, Harris decided to bring his two Yorkies, Blue and OJ, to the signing and to celebrate. As you can imagine, Twitter was loving this. Now, this isn't the first time we have seen this. Back in February, Jaguars kicker Josh Lambeau brought his two dogs to the extension signing. Marcellus, I know you ain't down with this. You're a cat guy.
It's a damn mess.
But do you guys think this will start to become a trend?
No, ain't no trend. Bring them dogs with their leashes and their collars. Sit here. Bring a cat. He ain't doing nothing but watching you sign that paper. Get that paper, boo-boo.
He gonna scratch your ankles. The cat gonna scratch your ankles.
He gonna be about that paper. Ain't gonna clean up after him. Oh, man, respect. Cats.
I'm an old fuddy-duddy, man. I love dogs, but Paris Hilton started this.
Yeah.
Who started it?
Yeah. And keep them out the restaurants, y'all. I'm trying to eat. I don't want dog and food.
I don't play that either.
I'm trying to eat.
Walking down the street.
Moving on to a video that went viral yesterday. Tiger Woods was playing in a Players' Championship this weekend when he walked by a fan who was wearing a shirt featuring the legendary golfer's mugshot from his August 2017 arrest. Tiger appeared to be a good sport about it and even had a nice chuckle about the whole thing as he walked past the fan. It seems like Tiger's finally starting to loosen up and have some fun.
Damn.
Do y'all like that he was able to laugh this off?
Oh, you call that loosening up? Tiger could even break stride or giggle with him.
Listen, let me tell you something. If Tiger was broke, it'd made him mad. Tiger's a billionaire.
When you're rich, it don't matter.
I don't care what you're talking about.
That was just a bad day. That's all.
Why can't we apply this logic to Russell Westbrook? This guy's getting trolled, and you know what? Tiger's like, check my W-2.
He didn't touch
it. Kept it moving. No.
Stop. He didn't tell him to get on his knees.
Stop.
He's trolling this dude with his dick.
He did that, though. Hey, Westbrook didn't get on his knees.
What I called him a couple weeks back?
Message.
Brother, man, come on, stop. Man.
Yeah, come
stop,
on, man. With your evil analogies.
He's trolling him, and the dude was like...
He did that, though. Tiger did that. Russell didn't do what the dude was saying to him.
That's how you handle trolls.
No, that's true.
Keep it moving.
It was a mugshot. That's true.
That really happened. That ain't trolling.
That's trolling.
No, that's a fact. That's a fact.
This is recorded history.
That's a fact.
Is that a troll?
That's a fact, brother.
Look, I got a mugshot. If somebody showed up, they'd be trolling me.
Oh, you do?
No.
Yeah, I do. I got arrested.
That's not their fault.
Suspended license.
Suspended license.
Years ago.
Yeah, everybody did that before.
I was scared.
All right. I thought he did something real.
Ran into my boys in there. It was crazy.
What did you do?
Baby Dockaboo from Warren Central, I swear to God. Anyway, Darnell question.
Three hots in the cot. Three hots in the cot.
It's Darnell.
This is my guy. My guy.
My question of the day.
My guy. My guy.
My question.
Question
of the day.
All right, man. So, Willock, I saw your tweets about rap music over the weekend, and you seem to believe that rap has had a negative influence on the black culture, and I want you to explain why.
I just think that rap music, commercial rap, the stuff that's mostly popular, it's just lyrical pornography.
Mm.
And again, if anybody knows me, I'm not anti-porn. I just don't think it should be the basis of a culture. Larry Flint, Hugh Hefner, pornographers, that no one's called, that's not white culture.
Mm.
That's pornography.
Mm.
And something to be enjoyed, mostly in private, in my opinion. A lot of the commercial lyrics, if you listen to it, it's just pornography.
Man, the older I get, the more I am married to what you just saying there. Mm-hmm. And I think our culture is too married to the rap culture, which needs to either get separated or maybe even divorced. I got more love, I'm a DJ. I got more love for the hip hop culture than hate, but I will say this, when I get disturbed by it, I like it because I live vicariously through their ignorance. I like the distance. Like, I'm not doing any of that, but you just told me that in art, respect. Yeah, right. But I hate it when I'm in my spin class and y'all dropping the N-word and you giving a license to every damn person around me to say the same thing.
Why didn't you tell me he was like Idris Elba? He a DJ, he just said.
Yeah.
I did not know he was a DJ.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got to let us know so we can come
Stringer
over
Bell's
to
Stringer Bell's a DJ? Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah. Stringer Bell gets it, though.
He got songs and everything.
Okay. He about
He got songs.
Yeah, I'm dormant.
I'm so with you in this. Well, my son is 19 years old. He just turned 19. I have a 9-year-old son. I have to sometimes censor what my 9-year-old listens to because my 19-year-old listens to some crazy stuff.
Great point.
I don't agree with it. Now, the guys that I love now that speak some logic, right, is J. Cole, mm-hmm. is Drake, right, Jay-Z. And when growing up, it was us. It was, you
still
know,
N-word, Ice Cube. Though?
No, I understand that. But that's our culture. But all I'm saying is, it's a different.
That's not our culture.
But J. Cole?
No.
No, he's smart. He's educated.
I don't like the rap now. That's all I'm saying. I don't like the rap now.
You know what's crazy?
J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, I love those guys.
I love Kendrick. You just gave me something. My family knew the only way to motivate me was either to get me a cassette tape or take it away. That was my punishment.
Right.
My son has not heard a rap song yet because even the clean versions are dirty.
Right.
The suggestions are there. Even if they take out a curse word, they're still leaving in more than I want him to understand.
Right.
He's
right,
3 years
right.
old.
Programming.
It's just programming.
Programming.
It's unnecessary. There's a different way to do this.
Right.
Yep. Let's hear from the baby boy over here.
Listen, I disagree. Like, true, rap music has certain influences that can be negative. I'm not disagreeing with that. But at the end of the day, it goes down to how you're raised. So, for example, like, I've always listened to rap music my entire life.
Same.
But I'm not going to let a song dictate my actions. So,
vicarious.
I listen to someone talking
like
about
vicarious.
Drugs.
Like
exactly.
That.
So,
yeah, like
you
but
gotta,
that doesn't mean they should put it out there.
Darnell, let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Honestly, you got a hell of a mama.
Yeah.
She put you in the church. You got some family support. Don't lie. Don't sit here and tell me you don't know some guys who take rap far more seriously than you and are influenced by.
But those guys were going to do street stuff regardless of the music. Sure, they might listen to music, try to pump themselves up or whatever, but they was going to go that route anyway because they didn't have the guidance of a strong mother.
And you're so right. Now, how about this one? He just said you had an amazing mom, right?
Yes.
All of us had amazing mothers. She put you where, in church?
Yes.
Are all the pastors around this country doing the best they're supposed to do or not?
Mm.
Oh, okay. But I'm listening to that man every single Sunday because my mama told me to listen to him. And when I start seeing him do all this little crazy stuff, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to get away with it too someday. So it's a give and a take. So I agree with what he's saying. If you have a nice foundation, it don't matter what nobody says outside of that.
I agree. That.
I agree. But Darnell, I just think if you listen to what's being said in the music, there's so much disrespect for women.
It is.
For women.
It is.
And then we just go, oh, and we keep claiming it as our culture. We said, this is rap, it's our culture. And there's so much disrespect for women. And then you look at the relationship between black men and black women, the divorce rate, the illegitimacy rate, and we think there's no connection. We've embraced a culture that has major hostility towards black women, and then we wonder why we're hostile towards each other and there's a disconnect.
To your point, it's possession and pride. Oh, I took your girl. And I was like, dang, I remember that. But this is where I knew it flipped. The B word used to be taboo to women. Now, watch network TV.
Yeah.
They call themselves B words.
They
beat them over the head so much with this. Mm-hmm. Hey, I just got to accept it.
It becomes normal.
It becomes normalized.
You're right.
Pornography.
Desensitized.
Right. Anybody that knows me, I'm not anti-porn. In private, it's not at the forefront of my culture in any way. And I listen to rap music with a headphone on.
Mm-hmm.
You won't catch me out listening with my mother and other people. Mm.
The N-word and spin class, y'all need to
You won't that. Catch me online.
Stop it, man. I hate my spin.
Looking at porn with my mother around.
It's not just rap music either. That's a good conversation.
That's a good point.
But we're claiming it as our culture.
That's what I got.
Let's return to the NBA. Where LeBron's disastrous first season with the Lakers is almost sure to be Luke Walton's last, with speculation already ramping up about who will coach the team next year. Now longtime NBA writer Peter Vesey claims that the next coach could be right under their noses, reporting that a source close to Doc Rivers says he has always wanted to coach the Lakers. I don't buy it. I think it would be crazy to leave Steve Ballmer to move to the Lakers.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. You know what? I'm glad he leaked this. I'm glad this is getting out there because it's going to help Doc get more money with the Clippers. He ain't going nowhere. Think about it. Better ownership, deeper pockets. You got better management. You got a better opportunity and security. You can make more money as the Clippers coach than the Lakers coach. And then you're going to a new arena soon. And more importantly, you got a better roster. You got better opportunities. You got better product on the court right now. I can't see one box in the present moment that you can check for the Lakers over the Clippers.
Yeah, I love Doc staying with the Clippers. One, and then two is like same thing with me. When I was a free agent in 2004, 2005, I want to go somewhere where it's meaningful. Mm-hmm. So when we win, I know I was a part of that.
Impact.
You go to the Lakers, you win a championship, there's 17 other ones before you. Yeah. So what does that really mean? I'm staying where I'm at. I got Jerry West up here, like the Oracle, the Wizard.
Is that why you're staying with Power this offseason?
Yeah, because I won a championship.
Yeah, I know.
I hit the game winner.
I know.
So you better be there this year.
Wait.
You better be right there on the court side.
Nancy Lieberman may let you go.
It's just rumors, man. I don't like it if it was to happen. It's just moving furniture, in my opinion. Doc going, I like Doc as a person. He's a good motivator, but.
It would be an upgrade for the Lakers, wouldn't it?
Why would it? Would it?
No, Doc Rivers, the way, what he's doing this year?
Would it? What Doc got one championship, right?
Yeah.
With four Hall of Famers?
Uh-oh. Where are we going?
Anything after that?
Listening.
What about this year with the Clippers?
Anything after that?
What about this year with the Clippers?
Exceeding expectations.
Okay, that's fine. But what? So we're in this business to exceed expectations.
Yeah.
So basically,
that was luck by Doc. Because
I ain't saying it was luck. He had four great players on his team. He did it. Listen, he had to get them guys. He had to get them guys to come together.
Right.
Which is not an easy thing to do. I'm giving him credit for when it was, but what else is there after
that? What else is there? Right, okay.
That's all I'm saying.
You're saying Clip City, Chip City, Lob City didn't live up to it?
Not at all.
Was that team supposed to win when Golden State
win more than they did? Win more than they did?
Boston should have
win more than they did.
Did they make it to the conference finals or the dot?
They were 3-1.
I didn't ask you that.
Why are you yelling at me, man?
Hey, sip your drink.
What did they win? What did they do under him is all I'm asking.
You're right, but damn.
Because that's your team, and we always have this. We've been this a long time now. So.
Yeah, Kenya.
Yeah, exactly.
You've been more right on
the final. Did Doc underachieve in Boston? Is that what you're saying?
No, he won a championship in Boston.
Should he have won
underachieved
more?
Underachieved with the
Adam Guy the whole time. No.
So you underachieved.
With you. Listen, I'm a realist in this. Honest as it comes.
Uncle Jimmy's here. You got any early thoughts? I know you got your little silly award you want to give out?
Look at him.
My silly award?
Yeah.
Oh, you must be talking about the Big Dummy of the Day award.
Yeah.
Look how you standing.
My Big Dummy of the Day award goes to the person that sat here in front of national TV and said, I look at porn with my mama.
That's not
Big Dummy. Who says that?
He didn't say
what
that.
I said. That's not what I said.
You misconstrued.
I said just the opposite.
He did say the opposite, but it
kind of like you be doing stories sometimes. Twist it up a little bit.
Mommy and porn was in the same sentence.
Here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about Big Ben.
If you have a coach you believe in and a coach that is successful, second most wins as an active coach, Mike Tomlin, and you got a quarterback who's going to be a future Hall of Famer, I always go with the coach. You know why? Because the longevity. He's going to last longer.
The Steelers struggle with quarterback like every other team, and they got one. With coaches, they're 3-for-3. They can pick another one. All right, Uncle Jimmy, we had a heated discussion about who you would pick between Big Ben and Mike Tomlin. What's your take?
Man, I hate to go Chris Broussard on y'all, man. I ain't gonna do it. Never mind, I'll do this one. No how, no way. Not gonna happen. Okay?
What?
Look, man, come on, man. It's not gonna happen. Y'all ain't gonna get me in the middle of this conversation.
Yes, we are. What's up?
You ain't gonna get me in the middle of this conversation. You heard me. Y'all ain't paying me enough money. to even get into this conversation between Big Ben and Tomlin. It's above my pay grade.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Now. It's your job, though. Come on, finish it up. Finish the segment. It's you.
No, it's not. No. Jason told me when this thing got started, he said, hey, it's all you do. Uncle Jimmy, come in, crack a joke or two at the end of the show. You can do it in between your jobs. And it'd be easy. That's it.
It is easy.
No, the hell it ain't. Not with these type of questions. Real talk, man. If I answer this question honestly, as soon as I get off, phone gonna blow up. Everybody texting me. Yo, man, how you gonna choose Big Ben over Tomlin? Jimmy, you done sold out.
Oh.
We might need to change your first name, Uncle.
So you would choose Ben over Tomlin?
Did I say that? Stop.
You telling me.
Don't play. I was speaking hypothetically. As I said, and I reiterate this, y'all don't pay me enough to touch this topic. It's too hot right now.
Dangerous. It's dangerous because your friends would get mad.
You soft.
Jason, you know my peoples from down at the Firelight. Baby John Spider, little Ghost, you know how they do, man.
Little Ghost.
Hey, man, we talk every day in football season. We talked about all the dumb stuff Tomlin did, man. The clock management, the dumbass two-point conversions, lack of discipline. But see, all of that is a private conversation that we talk about over a nice chilled bottle of Apple Crown, and they would be very upset at me if I discussed it on national TV in front of all of y'all.
What you talking about it now?
I'm gonna repeat this again for you, Marcellus. I'm speaking hypothetically. Peep game, Baby John's a Cowboys fan, right?
All right, Baby John.
Bro gonna straight up threaten to disown me if I say one more bad thing about your boy Dakari Fitzgerald Prescott. Now, you sit up here asking me to choose between Big Ben and Tom. Bro, it ain't gonna happen while y'all got me living in a closet. Okay? Living check to check. Okay, y'all can sit up here and exploit Donnell with T-shirts, Twitter retweets, and likes. He's sitting up here like, nah. Uncle Jimmy about that paper. You got to pay Uncle Jimmy if y'all want to hear me tell the truth about Mike Tomlin.
Oh, man. Who's your agent?
Hypothetically.
Man? We need to get his agent number. Got an agent?
Well, I'm just saying.
I think we know where you stand on this issue. But
yeah.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically, right?
Yeah. All right, let's get to our approval rating here for Big Ben.
I'm still making moves in these streets.
Man.
Big just Ben. Out here.
Big Ben keeps falling lower and lower in my deal. He's damn near a dumpster fire. I got him at a 50 right now.
Wow.
13 in job performance from the last time. Nothing's
y'all
changed.
Get my
19 right. All-time greatness. 8 character. I've just dropped him 4 additional points. I raised him actually in all-time greatness. Dropped him 4 additional points.
I am so proud of you, Whitlock.
50 for Big Ben.
But how he keeps falling. He's falling, huh, Whitlock? But he's still on your island? I mean, what the hell are you doing? I would have him at higher rating, 61, even though he dropped in character 1 point. Why? Where's the I miss Antonio Brown, even though we had our differences
y'all
in respect
get
and did a lot
my
of great
money
things.
Right.
I haven't heard that kind of advice. So, how you going to have him that
y'all
low and he's still on
get
your
my
island?
Money that's right. Crazy.